1 John. And we're going to kind of do an introduction to the book of 1 John tonight. And we're going to, as we have opportunities on Wednesday nights, we're going to go through the book of 1 John. It's been something that I've been mentioning as we talked about our walk with God, and this will really continue that theme in a sense. But we're going to look through the epistle of 1 John, which is toward the end of your Bible. The author is somewhat obvious. Now, there is more than one John in the Bible, okay? How many of you know, I don't know which one you think is more famous. Obviously, the one that was close to Jesus, what was his, which John was that? John the what? John the Apostle. John the Apostle was the one closest to Jesus. Where was he when Jesus was being crucified? Who knows? Right, he was there. He was the only disciple at the foot of the cross, okay, along with Jesus' mother and the other Mary. But anyway, this John, John the Apostle, is the author of 1 John. There's obviously John the Baptist as well, but not one of the writers of Scripture. So 1 John is written by John the Apostle. He also wrote 2 John, and he also wrote 3 John. He also wrote Revelation, and he also wrote the Gospel of John. So same man wrote all 5 of these books, okay? Some things about John that maybe you're aware of, maybe it's reminder or refresher or brand new. He was the only apostle that died a natural death. All of the other apostles were martyred. Now, John wasn't without suffering for the Lord. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and history tells us that John was boiled in oil, and survived that, miraculously enough. But he outlived all of the apostles and died a natural death. Later in his later years, he was a pastor in and around Ephesus, and he pastored there in several churches in Asia Minor. This particular book of the Bible is known, one of the names it's given, is the Assurance Epistle. The Assurance Epistle. And, of course, we've been talking about our walk with God, and one of the key words of this epistle is the word fellowship. Fellowship. Our fellowship with Christ and other believers helps give us the assurance of our salvation. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, it's vital that we have that assurance of salvation because that's what helps us live in victory. There's no way you can live in victory and not even know if you're saved. But our assurance is not in ourselves. Our assurance is in Jesus Christ. And he is the one who gives us that assurance. And that's covered a lot in 1 John. Maybe you remember one of the most famous verses in the Bible about assurance is in 1 John. And it's in chapter 5, verse 13. Let's just turn over there quickly. Chapter 5, verse 13. It's one that you want to mark. You want to mark this verse, okay? And you want to memorize it if you haven't. You want to know this address. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That's that ye may have assurance that ye have eternal life. That ye may believe on this, know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So these things have I written unto you. What I'm writing to you, John is saying, I'm writing to you so that you may know that you have assurance, that you might know that you're saved, and so that you don't wonder every day or every, you know, yes, we do struggle from time to time, but ultimately we come back to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are our anchor. And so that's what he's saying. These things have I written unto you. Let's pray. I don't think I prayed before I started, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have this opportunity to look into the Word of God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher and preacher tonight. Whether we're speaking or listening, even though I'm speaking, I'm listening as well. But Lord, we need to be emptied of ourselves and filled with your Spirit. And we just ask that you would work mightily as we journey through this epistle of 1 John. May we know it in a far more intimate way whenever we get done with it. And may we just digest it and maybe share it and share it with others, what you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So three key words, if you want to jot these down, if you're taking notes. The first one I gave you just a minute ago is fellowship. The second one is assurance. That's a key word, key principle. And then the word love. I would say the overall theme of the book of 1 John is fellowship with Jesus Christ. That would be the overall theme. Now, again, we've been talking about our walk with God. We've been talking about our daily devotions, and that is part of our fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful that the Bible tells us everything we need to know about our having a walk with God and having fellowship with Him. So 1 John takes the child of God. It is written to believers, okay? It is written to believers. It's written to Christians. It takes the child of God across the threshold into the fellowship of the Father's home. It's really a family epistle. Family. Because we're learning about more about our fellowship with our dad, our father. Right? Remember that concept of father. And let's see, I have it later on, so we'll just come back to that maybe when we get there, okay? He's writing to the family of God. The word father is used 13 times. 13 times. It's only 5 chapters. And I want to encourage you, by the way, I know maybe having a reading, you probably have a reading plan that you're going through or you're doing Bible reading, but could we all, for the next little bit, could we all add maybe a chapter of 1 John every day, read one chapter a day of 1 John? It's only 5 chapters long. And just keep reading the book of 1 John as you have time. I know you may already have a lot of reading of the Bible that you're doing. But so father is used 13 times, and little children, this phrase little children, is used 11 times. So think about it. There's 24 references between father and little children in this little book, 5 chapters long. So again, family, right? And think about it. How important is family? It's very important. We're talking about the family of God, and so there's fellowship with the Father, but notice, I don't want to overlook this, and God's really been challenging about this. It's also fellowship with the family. And we'll say more about that as we work into this tonight. Okay, let's look for a minute, though. We're going to come back to 1 John in just a few minutes, but I want to give you something to kind of chew on this week and think about this. Okay, remember we said John wrote the Gospel of John. John wrote the epistles, okay, the epistles. That's 1, 2, and 3 John. And then John wrote Revelation. Let's take a quick look at those in 3 sections, okay? A comparison between each one. They're all complementary of one another. Think about how God is so much about order. Do all things decently and in order. Order. You know, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Okay? So, first off, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John emphasizes salvation. The Gospel of John. Don't get confused, okay? Gospel of John. That's John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Many other verses. So John, the Gospel of John is salvation. For John, the epistles, is sanctification. They all work together. Now, it's a step, right? You can't be sanctified unless you're saved. So the Gospel of John is salvation, but then we come to the epistles of John, all three of them together, are working out the things in us that need to be removed and putting things in us that aren't there. So it's sanctifying. It's making us more fit for the master's use. And then the revelation is glorification. Okay? So they all work together. John, the Gospel of John is what, church? Salvation. The epistles of John is sanctification, and the revelation is glorification. They all work together. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that. Let's look at another one. The Gospel of John is the past history. The past history. The epistles of John is the present history. The present, right now. So what's the revelation? The future hope. The future hope. But again, they all work together. So the Gospel of John is the past. The epistles of John is the present. And the revelation is the future hope that we have. Here's another one. In the Gospel of John, we learn that Jesus Christ died for us. Aren't you glad for that? Boy, don't ever get over the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. Otherwise, you and otherwise me would be on our way to hell tonight. Because the wages of sin is always going to be death. He died in our place. Substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. I deserve to be on that cross. You deserve to be on that cross. So the Gospel of John is Jesus dying for us. The epistles of John are Jesus Christ living in us. In us. He lives in us. In the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And then how about this? In the Revelation, same author, all three books. The revelation is Jesus Christ coming for us. Like we said, hold the fort, for I am coming. This is no time to cave in. Oh, this is the time to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And keep on going for God. One more. In the Gospel of John, the Word was made flesh. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became man, dwelt among us. We learn about that in the Gospel of John. In the epistles of John, the Word is made real to us. The Word is, by the way, the Son of God. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the Revelation, the Word is conquering. So the Word is made flesh in the Gospel of John. The Word is made real in the epistles of John. And then the Word is the conquering King in the Revelation. So that's just some things to kind of think about in relation to the works of John the Apostle. Now, John the Apostle was the human penman. Let's just be reminded of that. He's the human penman. God's Word is God's Word. It's God-breathed. He's the author that God used, humanly speaking. Okay? So, we're in 1 John chapter number 1. Let's read down through verse number 4. 1 John 1, 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm going to start with giving us five purposes of 1 John. Five purposes of 1 John. We will not get through all five of them tonight. I know that for sure. Number one, five purposes. Number one, that we might have fellowship. That's the first purpose, that we might have fellowship. We find that in verses 3 and 4. So the obvious fellowship that God wants us to have, that I think we all already know, is with Him. God wants us to have fellowship with Him. We'll talk about the word fellowship in just a moment. It is imperative that we have fellowship with God in order to bring forth fruit for God, in order to have victory over our enemy. Fellowship is vital. But there is also an emphasis here on fellowship with our fellow believers. The maverick Christian idea isn't how God intended it to be. And you say, what's a maverick Christian? Here's a maverick Christian. This is what a maverick Christian says. I can worship God all by myself. I don't need a church. That's not what 1 John says. 1 John says we need fellowship with God, but he also says that we might have fellowship with us. See that in verse 3? Don't miss that. In fact, he mentions it first, that we might have fellowship with us. I would say to say that I can worship God by myself is possible, yes, but to say I don't need a church is unwise and bordering on foolish. I must have intimate fellowship with God and His family. And if you're saved, you are in the family of God. Praise the Lord. If we're saved, we're in the family of God. That is amazing to even think that. God would allow me into His family. This word fellowship comes from a Greek word, koinonia. Koinonia. That's the Greek word for fellowship. Here's what it means. Another couple of English words are community. Community. Communion is another word that we get from that. It speaks of a living, breathing, sharing, loving relationship with another person. God wants to have a living, breathing, sharing relationship with me. And how do I have that? I have that through Jesus Christ. But in addition to that, and equally with that, I might say that God wants us to have a breathing, a sharing, a loving relationship with our family members, our sisters in Christ, our brothers in Christ. Go over to Acts 2:44 quickly. Acts 2:44. Acts 2:44, we see something here that's, I think, very powerful, and we've read it many times, but repetition is the key to learning, right? Acts 2:44, it's the beginning of the church. Notice what it says here. It says, and all that believed were, what's the next word? Together. That's fellowship. That's the same idea. That's the breathing, the sharing, the loving relationship with another person. That's community. The church is a community. The church is a community of fellowshipping believers with the God of heaven, but also with one another. We're supposed to weep with those who weep. We're supposed to laugh with or rejoice with those who rejoice. I guess we can laugh with those who laugh. That's not in the Bible, but we can rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. That's a community. That's what a family does. That's what this word koinonia means. Fellowship. The Bible says that they were together. And notice it says they had all things common. It basically means that it was striving together. Striving together. Not striving to the right, to the left, up, down, striving forward. They were together in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This simple and bold statement means that one can have a relationship with God. Isn't that something? I can have a relationship, a fellowship with God. I can communicate with Him. Now, as John is writing, remember, when we read the Bible, we have to remember how it's written and written in that time. This idea of a relationship like this would have been amazing to the Greek mindset, of the day. But it wasn't between men and God. Their mindset was more between men and men. Go back to Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's model prayer. You probably know where I'm headed. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. In the Greek mindset, it wasn't fellowship with God. It was, sure, I can have fellowship with man, but no. John says we can have fellowship with God. Imagine them hearing this once again. New Christians, again, written to believers. Look what it says. Look what Jesus himself, and everybody knows this verse, I would think. It's Matthew 6, 9. It's part of the model prayer. Jesus said, after this manner pray ye. What's the next two words? Our Father. Okay, God is our Savior. He sent Jesus to be our Savior. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful for that. God is not only my Savior, but God is my Father. God is my friend. God is sticketh closer than a brother. That's the relationship. That's the fellowship. That's the daily walk that we can have with Him. Look at John 14, please. The Gospel of John. John 14. The more fellowship I have with Jesus Christ, the more like Him we will become. How about this, though? The less fellowship we have with Him, the less like Him we will become. You know why? Because it's impossible to keep the dirt of this world off of us when we're living in it. So if we're not fellowshipping with Him, the dirt of this world begins to build up. If we're fellowshipping with Him, the dirt of the world only gets on us so much. And if we're fellowshipping with Him, He reveals to us and says, you got to get that dirt off. And we get in, we take a shower in the Word of God. We get the soap out, we soap off. And after we're done, we're confessed it, then what? Guess what? Wow, let's go, we're clean. Washing of the Word, right? But when we're not fellowshipping, we're not walking with God, we go through one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, however many days. Guess what's happening that whole time? We're still sinning. Sinning. We're still sinning, and it's building up, 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 up. The dirt of this world just keeps building and building and building. It doesn't stop. Why? Because we have a flesh. That's why this walk with God is so important. That's why this fellowship, this communion, because the Holy Spirit reveals, hey, you shouldn't have done that. In our reading, we come across a verse, and it's like, have you ever read a verse that seems to be in neon yellow? Like it's already highlighted, and you just opened it up. It's a brand new Bible. You haven't even marked in it yet. And you read it, and it was for you. It was for me, you know. And the Holy Spirit is saying, that is for you. You need a shower. You stink, you know, and I'm like, oh, you're right. You know, but that's good though, because if we avoid that fellowship time, man, the odor just grows, and we'll just leave it at that. But look at John 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, think of this. What a question, eh? Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Let's read that again. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? True fellowship did not come simply by physically being in the presence of Jesus. True fellowship came through an inner and comes today through an inner working of the Holy Spirit after the finished work of the cross. It is why we today as Christians, sinners saved by grace, I'm not saying we're special. We're not any more special than anybody else. But it's why we today, as believers who have accepted Jesus Christ, we can have that fellowship with God just as an apostle, or even greater even still, because we have the Holy Spirit of God in us all the time. And when we open this book, the Holy Spirit of God guides us into all truth. He will never guide us into error. He will always guide us into truth. So this main big number one, that we might have fellowship. The fellowship mentioned in 1 John is with the family of God and with the God of the family. Think about that. Fellowship with the family of God and with the God of the family. Spurgeon said this, when fellowship is the sweetest, your desire is the strongest that others may have fellowship with you. And when truly your fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ, you earnestly wish that the whole Christian brotherhood may share the blessing with you. You see, my fellowship with God isn't only about my fellowship with God. It's that my fellowship with God bleeds into my fellowship with David. Yes, exactly. That's right. That's why a guy in his 20s can fellowship with a sister in her 90s. Because they're fellowshipping with the same God. So it's not our daily devotions. Think about this. The daily devotions in our walk with God, it is for our spiritual nourishment, but it's not where it's supposed to stop. It's supposed to bleed into our daily life, which again, for me, is so important why we go to church. One of the reasons we go to church is so that the fellowship that we've had with God can bleed into the relationships that we have here in this local church. It one feeds the other. They all work together. From my heart tonight, I wrote this earlier, from my heart, I cannot understand why Christians will not make more time to be with other Christians. Can I say that one more time? From my heart, I'm just reading what I wrote so that it would be from my heart, I cannot understand why Christians will not make more time to be with other Christians. If I am truly walking with God and in His Word, there will be a longing desire to be with His family. I'm not saying we're going to go and find some, go live in a cave and just spend all of our every waking minute together. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that according to the Word of God here in 1 John, it's that verse 3 says that we've seen it and we're declaring it unto you because we want you to have fellowship with us and we want you to have fellowship with God. They go right here. They're like this. And when you remove one, it weakens the other. So number one, that we might have fellowship, the five purposes of 1 John is that we might have fellowship. So then, purpose number two, we're just going to give you two tonight, okay? Purpose number two comes from that fellowship. Look what it says in verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that what? Your joy may be full. Number two, that we might have joy. We're talking about five major themes of the book. We're going to give those, and then we're going to come back and work our way through the book. This word joy is only seen right here in the book of 1 John, actually. Yet, we can see the blessings of joy all throughout the book, from cover to cover, from chapter 1 to chapter 5. What is the result of fellowship with God? What is the result of fellowship with His family? According to this, it's fullness of joy. It doesn't always have to be in a church service. It might be in a setting of coffee or having a coffee together. It might be going fishing with someone. It might be in a Bible study. It might be in a prayer meeting. It might be in a youth activity. It might be in a youth conference. And it's why we have these. We don't have these just to spend time necessarily and fill up a calendar. No, it's so that we can have fellowship. Remember the word fellowship, koinonia, a commonness, a community. And what comes out of that? Joy. What comes out of that? Peace. There's so much that comes out of it. Oh, this joy is a sense of optimism. This joy is a cheerfulness. And what is it? It's based solely on God and God's attributes. We have joy today, not because we're anything, but because He's everything. The Christian's joy is important. The Christian's joy will be attacked in many ways. External circumstances come. Our emotions are like a roller coaster, mine, yours, everybody's. We all are like this. Or sin takes away joy. But the Christian's joy is not founded on anything in this world. Shouldn't be. It won't be. It can't be. Notice when John wrote about these things. See that two words in verse 4? These things. He's writing about his relationship of fellowship and love that we share with the God, with our God and our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things. When you lose your joy, it's not a small loss. It's a big loss. That's why David writes, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Because it's not small. It's major. You know, there's a lot of people today that they're discouraged because they lost their joy. Because they lost their fellowship. They stopped fellowshipping with God. They stopped fellowshipping with the church. I'm talking about people when I say the church. And guess what happens? The joy meter goes from here all the way down. And the devil is so good. Not good. He's not good. The devil is so good at watching us and being ready to pounce. And when the joy level is down, he's pouncing. He's swinging. He's swinging for the fences, as they say. And he knows right where to punch. And he knows right where to jab. And he knows right what's... Why? Because I'm not fellowshipping with God. I'm not fellowshipping with the church, the family of God. And so, boom. It's hard to get up sometimes. Why? Because joy is gone. I'm not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Yes, I am, but it's there, but we don't realize it's still there. Everything is on empty. How do we fix this? Seek to once again draw closer to the Lord and reclaim the fullness of joy. This is what he says, that your joy might be full. The closer that I get to the Lord, the more joy I will have. Because when I get close to the Lord, I see this has got to be repented of and this has got to be, and that brings joy. When you get right with someone, there's joy. When you have a husband and a wife have a disagreement and it becomes more than it should, and somebody's got to say, uncle, you know, somebody's got to say, I'm sorry, and kiss and make up, and we got to move on with this thing. We got to ask forgiveness. And when that happens, there's joy restored. And that's what John is saying. John is saying, I want you to have the fellowship, but I want you to have joy. In these days, depression, discouragement, disillusionment, defeat, they're all over the place. And guess what? Right here in this book, God says, hey, I want fellowship with you. I want koinonia with you. I want a community with you. But not only that, he said, I've got people right here tonight. Some of you online tonight, I've got people that you need to have fellowship with, just like you have fellowship with me. Really, these church meetings that we have together, yes, they're about preaching and teaching and praying together. That's all part of it. It's also about seeing one another. It's also about, hey, tell me about your family member that's not saved. Update. Hey, I've been praying for that. I know you haven't been feeling well. Been praying for that. It might just be a smile. It might not even be, you don't say anything. It's kind of hard to convey over a live stream. I'm not saying don't, you know, skip, you know, you can't come to church and so you can watch it on the live stream. You're not well. I'm glad it's there. You're not well. You can stay home. Please don't come with a cold, right? And watch it. I'm glad. There's nothing like this. Fellowship of God's people. And this is important. It's in the Bible. Let's look at it one more time. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful God is patient with me. He's long-suffering with me. And He still wants to fellowship with me. And I'm glad we're on this journey together. God is faithful. Mercies are new every morning, right? And as we go through this book of 1 John, I hope it'll be a help to us. I hope it'll be an encouragement to us. So these first two, fellowship, two ways, and also fullness of joy.